Yellow.
Yeah.
It's great there. What about it?
What?
What about it?
I want to know if Damon's awake, if he's ready to go.
Nope. Thank you.
Although he did look all spiffy on the at the Lions Club meeting the other night. He actually dressed himself up a little bit, slicked his hair back a little bit.
Oh, button wore one down.
Wasn't wearing the hole in the pants that he wore on the drive up drive back from Kansas City.
You put your good pants on, huh?
Right.
Well, I don't know if you noticed this. Were you there when I said hello to Devin?
What'd you say?
At the bar?
Yeah.
I was and standing there, yeah.
You were standing there. He called me Damien.
Oh.
Oh, just like Adam from our 100th episode.
Right. Well, I mean, I mean, this is something I've gone through my entire life. People call me Damien. You know, a lot of people do it.
Well, you do kind of look like a son of Satan.
And 98, well, and again, it's that movie. 98% of the time, I don't say it.
Right.
But I've known Debbie for half my life.
Right.
And even, you know, Mr. Ronnie has corrected her.
Hey, guy. His name is Damon, not Damien.
He's one of the few repeat offenders, like, you know.
But you allow it.
Yeah, you know.
I really like, think she probably just can't say Damon. Like, it's not in her physical ability.
Will have. Yeah, maybe.
There are people like that. My mom, like, she knows your name is Damon, but she can't say Damon. She says Damien herself. And then, well, she did for a long time, and what I used to tell her that, you know, his name is Damon, right? And she's like, I know.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
But fuck Damien. Him. I'm going to say Damien.
Yeah.
You probably went over to Jeff's house one time and walked on the carpet behind the couch.
Yep.
And she just will never call you Damon.
Walk on the couch.
Hi, my name is. What? My name is. What? My name is.
His name's Sadie.
Hi, my name is. My name is.
What?
My name is.
His name's Sadie.
Hi, all right. What's up, Houdat Nation? And thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk tonight. We should have recorded last night. I drank a bottle of wine.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have all this news to talk about.
We'd
be talking about you. Yeah, I drank a bottle of wine tonight.
Waiting for some free agency news.
All right. The Pelicans lost again. Okay, what else is new?
Aye. Yeah, well, free agency is upon us, and the Saints seem to be proceeding with purpose. Fresh off the rumors of them being interested in a Cooks trade, the wide receivers turn to Twitter to throw shade, and then Fairley gets himself a fair deal. Meanwhile, the rest of the NFL clamors for talent in a fast-paced shopping spree today, and we're going to talk about it all. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a 3.
Look at you.
Well, look, it was a madhouse today. I mean, once you start checking Twitter around like 12, and obviously the quote-unquote legal tampering period began like a day or two ago, so word started to trickle out. But no Saints news trickled out until today, and then just for a certain time period, like I would log on to Twitter and check things. Okay, that's fine. And then I would maybe not check it for 2 hours, and then I'd have to, like, you know how you get on Twitter, and then it's like, all right, you have the space where you, like, load more tweets, load more tweets, load more tweets. Every time I logged on, there were like 4 of those. I'm like, oh shit, I guess something happened, and it was just kind of a madhouse for a while.
Well, I guess so. I mean,
so it got me excited because, look,
I don't feel like it was as big of names, though. It's like it was a lot of activity, but not as a whole lot of people that I would be interested in.
Okay, it may not be a lot of names, but it's Saints. It's actual Saints news, and for the past
actual football news,
right? For the past 2 months, there hasn't been any real Saints news. So I've kind of like taken, like, I actually took an off season.
Okay.
I know there's a lot of countdown out there, but
I'll allow
it's not
it.
Fucking. It's not fucking news. It's not official. So I don't fucking give a shit.
Sustained.
So the last 2 months, I've kind of moved on, haven't worried about the Saints. Like, obviously, I know what's going on, but I haven't worried about it. But now that there's official, like, holy shit, we signed this guy. This guy's going to be wearing the black and gold. Now I get back into it.
All right.
You know, when real stuff happens, I pay attention, and I got a little excited.
What am I going to do? That's true. But good point. All right. Damien.
I don't know about you, but
welcome to the show, and how you feeling?
Pretty happy with the way today went.
All right, good. And with that, we're going to go into starting with the Saints headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Which, of course, begins. I guess we'll start with the Ted Ginn Jr. signing.
Well, I think that was the second one to be announced today, but that's fine.
But it's, to me, it's the bigger headline.
Really?
Well, okay. I don't think so.
I like the. Oh goodness, I can't remember his
you
name.
Like the linebacker.
Yeah, but anyway, the line. Yeah, but anyway, okay.
AJ Klein.
Ted Ginn.
Okay, here.
Mr. Coach Klein.
I don't like it, Mr. Coach Klein. I don't like it one bit. You see, my boy is too delicate to be playing foosball and whatever you call it with them gargantuans.
I don't think you understand, Mrs. Boucher.
No, you don't understand me, Mr. Coach Klein.
Okay, that's.
Oh,
good.
You water boy fans will know what
that
I'm talking about.
That is.
Yeah, no, I mean Ted Ginn. You might as well start with him.
Well, let's just start with the headline is Carolina Panthers moving to New Orleans.
Yeah. Look, so, I mean, okay, we all know who he is. I think we're his third team. Wasn't he drafted by Detroit?
Was it Detroit or Miami?
I thought it was
Miami. You thought it was San Diego?
San Francisco. Jesus, we are all over the
I don't know. Back. Maybe it was Cincinnati. Maybe it was
Cleveland.
Maybe the Jets. Well, was it a team in New York? Call me. Tell me.
Okay. He was drafted.
Wow.
By...
Okay, so who was right?
He was drafted by the Miami Dolphins.
Damn.
But he did go play for the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
After that, right. So we're his... from 7-9, Miami, 10-12, San Fran, 13, Carolina, 14, Arizona. 15 through 16, Carolina. Look, he was a high, like I said, he was the number nine pick by the Dolphins in 2007. He's not Randy Moss, but we don't need him to be. He is a fast wide receiver. He excels on kickoff and punt returns, which
is where he's really going to make. That's right. Why I'm excited. I'm excited that we actually have a return guy now.
Right. So that's what I started thinking. Everybody said, "Oh, we drafted Ted Ginn Jr. So now Cooks is gone." But is he more of a special teams help than?
It doesn't mean that he's gone, right?
No, exactly.
Look. You know, they're not just going to trade him for the sake of trading him. I mean, it has to be right. And if Cooks sticks around as much as Saints fans have quit on him, and I'm ready for him to go if we can get good enough value. But they're not just going to give him away for nothing. Even if he comes back next year, there is a role for him. The offense will be fine with him.
Right, and he'll have to perform in it or hurt his numbers. His value. So. Right. But you say you've given up on Cooks. I mean, look, if you remember during the year when he get, businessman, I gave him a lot of shit for that. Why have you given up on Cooks?
It just seems like he doesn't want to be here. And just if he doesn't want to be here, then
what has he done? I mean, what makes you say that?
Because his agent is pushing for it. The reports came out. Now, I'm basing this on the fact that these reports are accurate.
Fake news.
That's
where you.
Well, and look,
I could be wrong.
His agent.
You've been wrong so often in the past. I don't know why now it should make any difference to you. But go ahead.
Let him make the point.
If his agent's pushing for a trade, and that's really the case, and especially when he complained, if he feels like, well, they use me for a certain role, and he thinks he wants to be one of those guys that gets 100 catches a year, and unfortunately, in this offense, that's not going to be the case. If he's so selfish, then fuck him. It is weird, though, because coming out of the draft, all you heard about him was he's this most humble guy. He's a hard worker, and he does work hard. I'll give him that. But, you're playing with a fucking Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, dude, you're in a top three offense. If you win, who gives a shit?
He's one of those players right now that is only interested in himself early in his career. A lot of them are like that. And maybe as he gets older, he'll recognize the value of of winning.
But well, honestly, if we trade him to a shit team and he loses and catches 95 balls but loses.
But he's only been on a shit team.
Well.
No, not a shit team. A mediocre team.
7-9?
Not shit, but mediocre.
7-9 is mediocre. 7-9.
Yeah, but it's on the wrong side of mediocre.
Still mediocre.
So, close enough to mediocre. like you said, you know, all the reports you're hearing and stuff like that. Yeah, man, I don't know. Is Sean Payton, who I'm assuming knows the situation better than anyone and knows the kid, you know, and if he wants him on the team and thinks he can win with him, that's fine. You're correct. Look, Cooks, you're not going to get 100 balls in this offense. That's not how we do it. We spread it around. Now, the comments he made.
You're talking about the same guy that took 11 years to fire Bill Johnson.
Yeah.
And Joe Vitt.
And Greg McMahon.
Look, that I forget. I know that's the game we won. We scored 49 points. Who did we score it on? I forget.
The Rams.
The Rams, of course. Yeah, Greg Williams. You know. Look, it's this game. We're scoring. We're moving. And you don't throw me the ball one time. Oh, come on, guy. I want to play football, too. I mean, you know, I can understand from that point of view him saying something, you know, or him being disappointed. Now, again, like all of these young people, you know, keep your ass off of Twitter, okay? And someone should tell the president that also.
I'm going to go tweet.
Yeah, you're right. While Jeff goes to tweet.
Jeff, tweet that out for me.
I'm on it.
You know?
Look, I agree with you there.
You know, I mean, so I don't, you know, I'm not done. If he stays on the team, I'm not done with him. I don't dislike the man. You know, I think he made a mistake, and I'll make fun of him for it. You know, when he drops a ball, I'll say, businessman, you know, as I did after, you know, throughout the years after that, after texting with y'all, you know. But, you know, look, he's a talent, and he has a special skill set. But again, he's not, and tell me if y'all disagree with this, he's not Devery Henderson, who basically the long ball was kind of like, you know.
No, that's Ted Ginn.
You know, that right, you know. Cooks can catch the balls in traffic and you know.
He doesn't break a lot of tackles, but he can. I mean, look, he can run. You know, he can do the jet sweep. He can. He's very talented. And if a trade doesn't materialize, you know, our offense is going to be, you know,
better
having
him.
A guy like that on our offense, he's going to put up numbers. Our offense is going to be very good with him.
Right. And so I'm not done with him. I mean, I guess I said all that to say, I'm not done with him. I don't dislike him, but you're right. If he wants to move on and then you're right. I don't want anyone here that doesn't want to be here. And I would think that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis feel the same way. So
I would say the same thing. If you can get something great by trading him,
exactly,
get it. If not, then yeah, I just hope he is the kind of guy who can
play
after that, who can perform after whatever this offseason or becomes.
Correct. And you're right. I guess that's the thing.
Is he a businessman for
don't
real?
Give him don't give him away. You know, I don't feel like he's that sort of player. I don't feel like he's a Keenan Lewis, who I've lost a lot of respect for.
Now, what did he do? I missed it.
Well, I'm not on Instagram, but he went on a video Instagram rant about the Saints, and made it seem like he talked to Michael Thomas without his knowledge, but then Michael Thomas said that wasn't him.
Well, no, your explanation, I think, it's a little confusing.
Okay,
a little.
I'm not on Instagram.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine, but
right. Look, only reason I'm ever on Instagram is to look at hot chicks, you know, pictures. But he apparently was on Instagram live. I guess now, you know,
Facebook does it too. Yeah,
right. Anyway, and it seemed at the time that he was talking to Michael Thomas, and they were bad mouthing Snead and Cooks. Okay, but then Michael Thomas came out and said, "Hey, look, that wasn't me on Instagram." With Keenan Lewis.
Okay.
So that was the first. That was the first controversy. It looked like he had thrown Michael Thomas under the bus, because it appeared that he was talking to Thomas and then Instagram lived it without the caller knowing.
Was it joking or was it seriously dissing?
No, it was two people BSing and And
like
we
BS on each other. I mean,
well, right. then he came back and said, because he went on WWL last night with Christian Garlic and said, yeah, that's the way they fuck around and they joke around like that shit. Like,
right.
It wasn't
so that's
whatever they talked about wasn't serious.
So it's nothing.
Okay. Right. It really but was. Then, right. It really, at the end of the day, it seemed like nothing.
But then your boy, who was it that went on Twitter and posted? Was it Michael Thomas posting shit about jealousy is going to get you?
No, that's Sneed. Wasn't it Sneed?
No. I think it was Michael Thomas that posted something and then came back and said, oh, no, that's stuff about a rap song. That's a line from a rap song.
Yeah, right, right.
That was Michael
said,
Thomas.
Like, I was, right, he said he was quoting a rap song. He went,
something about jealousy is going to get you.
It was a crazy fiasco of a 24, 36 hours.
And I guess that was right, and people thought that was toward Cooks.
Right. And then Cooks tweeted something and deleted it. Tweet and delete.
I mean, you know, again, this just goes back to social media. It will be, you know, the death of civilization as we know it.
Yes.
Yeah, they really ought to. I mean, as right. much as, I mean, like, I like checking Twitter and shit, but God, there's so much bullshit and just.
Well, like, right, look,
and plus, like, something happens on social media, then you got all these fucking commenters, and then all the shit happens, mm-hmm. and it's just the snowball
right.
effect, and it seems like nothing really good can come of all this shit. Yeah, like,
nobody has a long enough attention span, so as long as the next 5 hours from now, it's past
right.
your Twitter feed, and people are moved on to the next thing.
Look, I mean, and I, you know, I've always said this. I mean, you know, Twitter is good for, like, today, what happened today. That's what Twitter is great for. Quick breaking news. So-and-so signed here. So, you know, boom, 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 boom. A little snippet. But you're right. Then, you know, then these idiots think, you know, talking about the wide receivers, you know, and Keenan Lewis, you know, don't put your dirty laundry. I mean, don't put your dirty laundry in public. People don't. I don't get that. That part
yeah,
of,
we
I
saw
mean,
what happened with Junior Gallette. You might not want to do that.
Right. I mean, don't. That's. I don't get. I mean.
Now, look. These are kids. They're only 22, 23 years old. I mean, like, I can imagine when we were that age, if we had fucking Twitter, all the kind of shit we would do.
Uh-huh. Back in the day, you used to send, you know, letters.
Lightsaber fights in the sand dunes of the you know, golf course.
But the thing, you know, with the letter, if you know, you can sit there, you can write a letter, and you put it down. And then you calm down a little bit, and you might revise it. You know what I'm saying? Twitter is an instant reaction of mostly stupidity. Oh, you're fired up in the moment. You know, these guys, and I don't know how,
right,
except maturity. I mean, that's all. You know, they need to mature. Again, I think it's a whole lot of do about nothing, all this whole bullshit. I think the season starts, they come to practice, and it all be
good. Everything's good. All I mean, that's the thing you got to remember. These are 22, 23-year-old kids.
But you will have Ted Ginn there. And
anyway,
let's just hope he can catch.
Well, look, I saw this stat today. Out of 95 targets, I forget how many, he caught like 89 balls or 90. It was like a 5-point-something% drop percentage.
So maybe the whole he can't catch thing is not
well
real.
Well, I mean, his drops are exasperated because – They're like bombs where he's wide open. So like he'd have like a 70-yard touchdown catch and it's in his hands and he just drops.
Yeah, okay, you know.
But the good news is
that's why you got to keep Cooks.
Well, that's also why. Look, we got CJ back. You know,
yeah.
We got CJ as a wide receivers coach.
And
you know,
also,
but I'm more excited about the special teams aspect because our special teams has been
anything but special. But anyway, remember we have a new coach too, so that's exciting. And also, Ginn didn't have. Drew Brees throwing to him.
Right.
Anywhere he's been.
Now I am curious. The money hasn't been released. So it'll be interesting to see.
I can't
imagine it's for that much. But, man, yeah. I mean, it was a quick signing. I mean, it's probably going to be, I would imagine, $3 or $4 million a year probably. Which isn't terrible.
No, I mean, for wide receiver money, I think that, I mean, that's like a third wide receiver money, isn't it? I mean.
Well, I know we were negotiating with Sneed. He's a restricted free agent, but we're negotiating with him. We're probably going to have to pay him, I guess, if
I imagine.
What, six, seven?
I wouldn't think seven,
maybe six.
Right. Eh, I don't even think that much. But
Well, if Ted Ginn gets four, I mean, Willie Sneed, you don't think Willie Sneed's better than Ginn? I mean, I get the Drew Brees makes everybody better. There's no doubt.
I don't.
Okay.
So. Right.
And then the other guy, AJ Klein. What do we know about him other than he played with Luke Kuechly?
Is he a young linebacker? Didn't get the start because he's playing behind Kuechly and Davis. Now his contract was a little more significant than I thought initially. It came out 3 years, $15 million, but it ended up being 4 years, $24 million, and like almost $10 million is guaranteed. Basically, his first 2 years are guaranteed of the deal. So it sounds like we signed him to be our starter.
Oh, 100. Look, I mean, you look at him. I think it's the kind of player you hope works out in free agency. Like you said, you can't blame him for not being able to get on the field. Sit behind Luke Kuechly. I mean, so you hope he's a smart player and that kind of like a Joe Horn type deal back in 2000. You know, you let Carolina develop him, and then we come in and get him at a relatively cheap price for 4 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right. You're taking a chance thinking, you know, this guy, he played behind two really good players. Maybe once he gets out into his own. I mean, according to Mike Dettillier, he can cover. You know, which is good because the rest of our linebackers are shit. They can't cover. We definitely needed help with the linebacking position. But it seems like he's got a talent. And we do have a new linebackers coach, Mike Nolan, who I have a lot of faith in.
Definitely.
Well, and like we said in the past, you bring back – well, they signed him. He's coming in. But something else I want to point out, any opportunity about how Ian Crapaport is just crap. At 11:10 this morning – he did say that the belief is the Saints will trade Brandon Cooks today. Patriots and Titans in the mix. So we're recording now at 9:20 p.m. I haven't heard that he's been traded. Have you?
No.
No, I don't think it's going to happen today.
Okay. So just
look, the Saints are sticking by there. You know, it's got to be a good enough offer to get rid of
him. Okay, but Crapaport wanted to get out there in front of everything. It's better to be first than right. And
yeah, we all look an asshole.
Adds to that shit. I just want to point it out whenever I see it. But we find a lineman.
But look, I like the signing. We need linebackers. This guy's got the potential.
AJ.
I mean, look. You remember when we signed Fujita? Nobody knew much about him, and he was pretty solid for the 3 or 4 years that he was here. The money, the terms haven't been released, but we did sign him. It's official.
No, I was gonna say, you know, one of the names out there for offensive linemen was. Ronald Leary from the Cowboys, who played at LSU. And, you know, I mean, he was kind of a big name. I kind of thought maybe, you know, we'd go after him. But I like this Horford signing better. I really do.
Yeah, I know because Leary signed a decent deal with Denver, maybe 40-something million. And then we were leaked to a guard, Kevin Zietler. Who ended up signing with Cleveland for a lot of money.
Oh, my. Well, Cleveland had
$100 million.
And I don't know how you even had that much because I know you're supposed to – I mean, I know there's a –
Well, because they had like 15 draft picks last year and they kept them all. I mean, they got a bunch of cheap
– Well, yeah. Okay, so they're a young team. But,
So, the money's not out, but you got to think it's – considering what some – look, a lot of offensive linemen side today for some big money – so you got to think it's probably $8, $9, $10 million a year.
I don't think it's 10. I mean,
it might not be 10, probably 9, maybe.
I guess something that was like 35 million for a year, 35 million.
I mean, I guess the per year average just doesn't really matter. It's all whatever the guaranteed is. But like he's young. He's only 25, third round draft pick, and he's basically started since day one for 4 years for the Lions.
Right. And his rookie year. His rookie year, he won. Oh, let me look. Not offensive rookie of the year, but he played lights out his rookie year, and then the last 3 years, then the following 2 years, he sort of fell off, and then they said he had a bounce back year last year.
Okay, well, in his contract year, that's okay. These guys do
right now. Well, not that he played, you know, Willie Rofe great last year, but they said he had a. A bounce back year, but his rookie year, he was an animal.
And it's definitely a position of need because we really can't count on a 34-year-old Jari Evans. coming back. And
or how about a Zach Streif? I mean, who?
Period. Well, he had a good year, though, remember?
Yeah, well, I mean, according to everybody here, he had the best year ever.
I think Streif is still going to be the right tackle this year, but you got to think they're going to address that in the draft. They have to draft.
They have to.
But Ed Warford in the middle, we all know how important the middle of the offensive line is for this team.
Yep.
So, look, this is a big signing, kind of like when we signed Grubbs a few years ago. I'm all for it. All
right.
I mean, this is a position in need, and now, look, you don't have to find it in the draft. You got this guy. He's entering his prime. So, at this point, you know, you got Pete at the left guard, you got Unger at center, and you got Armstead at the left tackle. I mean, I guess our offensive line's set. You know, just draft a replacement for Streif in the draft and hope you can find something. But it's imperative to shore up the offensive line. We needed this.
Well, good deal. Right.
Well, look, and one of the things that I kind of like, if you look at the Saints free agencies over at least the Loomis and Peyton years, it seems like we always do better when we don't get our first choice. If you remember when we got Jabari Greer, we were going after somebody else who played at St. Louis at the time. And that we didn't get him, and that was the guy we wanted, and then we settled for Jabari Greer, who was, you know, played great for
us. Right, and Greer was great. The other guy ended up sucking.
Right. Even the year that we got Darren Sharper, there was another I can't remember the name. There was another safety we were going after. But we settled for the aging Sharper.
The aging rapist?
Well, you know, that's...
I know we didn't know it at the time. We didn't know
He wasn't a rapist at the time.
We don't know that. He might have been.
Allegedly! That's ignorant!
You know, so again, it seems to me that, you know, but... Gareth Byrd, our first choice, and we got him. How'd that turn out? T.J. Spiller, our first choice. That turned out, you know. So, I like this...
Don't go after the guy that the media turns into a celebrity.
Right. I mean, so I like these free agent signings. You know, right? Yeah, they're not splashy and that, but
and like you said, they address an area of need.
Definitely.
So that it allows your draft to be directed. Okay,
I mean,
clearly now, and look, now that you know, we'll move on to – we've re-signed Nick Fairley for a price that I think is incredibly reasonable.
I told you he wasn't a $10 million a year guy.
It seemed like he was going to be, though. It takes is one team. With the money that was thrown around today,
I mean,
it wouldn't have shocked
me
to see some team pay for him.
You go back and listen to the shows. I thought $10 million was ridiculous. We didn't sign him for 10. I think his average is roughly $7.5 million a year.
Yeah, it's 4 years, 30.
Right, and do we know the guarantee?
No, that's not out yet.
Okay, that's fine.
It's probably,
I mean,
you know, 18-20 guaranteed. I mean, whatever. Yeah. That's fine.
And look, he wanted to be here. We wanted him here, so that is a great sign. You know, God knows we need help on defense, you do have in-house leave.
When you look at our defensive tackles, so we got Fairley, we got Rankins, we got Tyler Davidson, and you got Onyemata.
Right.
Not a bad quartet of defensive tackles we have.
No.
And we got Jordan on one side, so now you use the 11th pick in the draft for your other defensive end.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, our defensive line is like, whoa, we might actually have a defensive line.
Well, because you got
somebody
other than
Bill
Johnson.
Right. They're not coached by Bill Johnson.
That's alone is getting an upgrade right there.
My pants just moved. I'm like, holy shit. Just thinking about this. We might have a defensive line.
Which then makes your secondary better.
Which makes everybody better.
Or that.
Everybody. Could you imagine if we actually had a pass rush that actually did something?
Let's move into NFL reach around then.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Bigger things. I mean, Torrey Smith to the Eagles. I just mentioned him because I like him.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the Texans
really,
and Cleveland.
I'm just kind of scrolling through. Yeah. So Osweiler that they threw how much money at?
78?
Well, Texans threw a bunch of money at.
Last year, a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago. And now he's headed to Cleveland.
He's headed to Cleveland, and they might even cut him. You know what? You guys laugh.
Cleveland cuts you.
But you guys laugh. It's not a terrible decision. You know, they're treating this. It's kind of weird. Cleveland's treating this kind of like an NBA model, like when guys get traded and they just get cut. Cleveland got a second round pick, and Cleveland had a ton of cap space to spend. Now they spent a lot on a couple of offensive linemen, but dude,
and again, you have to use X amount. I thought it was like 95%.
Okay, so look, so they got to spend
like
the money.
So they had to use spend $95 million.
Right,
they had to find a way to get rid of it.
They know they're not going to be good this year, so sure, take on that money, get a second round pick, dump them. Over this draft and the 2018 draft, they've got so many draft picks to reload the team.
To reload,
you have to think.
To load the team.
Right. No, they reload.
How did this happen for them? How they get so much money and how they get so many draft picks?
Well, we can think. Last year they did the same thing in the draft. They traded down. They traded with Philly with Carson Wentz deal. Traded down, accumulated picks. They had double-digit draft picks last year, and all those guys they kept and kept on the roster. So that's all cheap labor, so they had an extremely low salary cap. They don't have anything committed to anybody. So that's why they had all
this. And they don't have any talent to pay. I mean, that's,
Right.
They don't have a Drew Brees,
They signed Drew Brees last year. Well, that didn't work.
Right, but wait a second. But we did. Okay, so here's the trade. Right, the Texans send Osweiler and a number two to Cleveland. And Cleveland sends I think they did wind up getting a fourth
round pick. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I think if you look at it objectively, I think it's a win-win for both teams. The Texans fucked themselves signing Osweiler. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did. It was a shit the bed. Now, a tip of the hat to them to say, okay, we shit the bed. This guy is terrible.
Yeah, this guy sucks.
So all it costs Cleveland is $16 million this year. Like you said, they can still cut him, and they'll owe him the $16 million. It's guaranteed.
Well, but that's why would the Browns do this to get
get the number two pick?
To get the second round pick.
Right. Basically, we said, okay, we have $16 million we have to spend. Fuck it. I mean, to me, this, fuck it. Here's our $16 million, and give us your number two pick.
You bought a number two pick for $16 million.
That's what it feels like to me. At the worst.
But no, the Browns hired their GM now is a guy who used to run a baseball team, is big into analytics. So
Billy Bean.
So, not Billy Bean, but whatever. Some schmuck. So yeah. So look, they need to spend the money. They know they're going to stink this year, but to accumulate assets, to accumulate picks, they use in a different. They're kind of thinking a little outside the box. They've got so many picks to try to hit and load the roster. Now, they still don't have a quarterback. You would think they would draft one next year. They're still
that's
Cleveland.
Important.
But look, they have the number one overall pick. You would think they're going to take Myles Garrett, the stud defensive end, who's a clear-cut number one choice. But they're thinking outside the box to kind of like the process like what the 76ers did. They just sucked for 3 years, and they loaded up on number one picks, hoping eventually enough top draft picks will give you enough talent to win.
Well, Cleveland has sucked for 20 years. I mean,
it is pretty amazing.
It's an interesting thing to watch to see if it plays out, but I don't know.
Really, like you said, I mean, that's the one thing. This has really never been done in the NFL before, so it's very curious. The Denver Broncos have to be just laughing,
Yeah,
John Elway just has to be so glad that Osweiler left.
Well, he knew. He saw Osweiler. He's like, I ain't signing this motherfucker. Houston signed him without even meet. That's crazy how much money Houston gave Osweiler.
And that's the best thing that Elway sold him in a sense that, oh yeah, you want this guy.
right. And look, good for Osweiler. I mean,
Reminds me of a young me.
I think he made $35 million. Over the 2 years of the contract.
Man,
I mean,
that ain't bad for him.
But so
can he sign somewhere else? I mean, in play? And...
If they cut him,
sure. Yeah.
Sure. He can sign.
Okay. So Where's Tony Romo going?
No one will pick him up.
Probably Houston now.
The Houston now.
Mm-hmm. Initially, it was going to be Denver, but now that Houston job has opened up and he didn't have to leave Texas, he's going to go to Houston.
Right.
Houston's got just as good a defense as Denver does.
Right. He's, 5 to 8 hours away from, I assume he lives in the Dallas area. You know, yeah, fuck it. I'll go to Houston, stay in Texas.
All right. Then you got Alshon Jeffrey to the Eagles. So that now the Eagles basically have Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey. Okay.
Well, that means they're definitely out on the Cooks trade.
Yeah.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson to the Bucks.
Yeah. I know he's kind of a one-trick pony, but still not looking forward to facing him twice a year.
Right.
You know, like a bunch of offensive linemen signed.
Browns expected to make a run at Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, now that they have all these picks.
Sure.
But the report came out that the Pats want the number one overall pick for Garoppolo, and I'm like, wow.
Okay, Laura.
I think it would be hilarious if Cleveland gets him and he turns up into a Brock Osweiler.
Well, I mean that, but all right. Let's say you're Cleveland, okay, or you know you're the GM, you have the number one pick. I mean, there's no doubt, quarterback is the most important position on the field.
Sure.
I would take Garoppolo. I mean, I would take a shot at that.
Are you that sure of him?
No, but I'm not sure of fucking anybody.
Well,
so what? So Garrett, are you that sure of him?
Did Chicago?
He seems pretty.
He does seem pretty. Yeah, yes, he does.
But Cleveland also has.
Let me ask you a question.
Cleveland also has the number 12 pick. Why don't you take Deshaun Watson and take somebody with the 12 pick and see what happens? I mean, he's got just as good a chance as Garoppolo.
I would say Garoppolo has a better chance.
I mean,
did
Gutekunst
shine with Chicago?
I mean, hey, look, like you know, he played for your favorite franchise. You remember when Matt Castle went 11-5?
Castle's
not bad.
There is no guarantee. You know, no doubt. There's no guarantee. But people take swings and misses on quarterbacks all the time. I mean, look at what Washington gave up to get RG3.
Yeah, it didn't really work out.
Three number ones and two number twos.
That's crazy.
You know, basically two ones and two twos, but you count three. No,
didn't they fire the GM now?
Well, yeah.
It was a different GM at the time, but Washington's maybe the most dysfunctional organization in football, maybe even more so than Cleveland. They hired a GM 2 years ago. And he turned around the team. They made the playoffs. They almost made the playoffs last year. Everybody respects him, but the owner is such an egomaniac. And the owner and the other guy, Bruce Allen, they're buddies, and they couldn't stand the fact that this other guy was getting credit for everything, so they fucking fired him.
Well,
you talking about the one that they claim was the alcohol problems, though, too?
Yeah.
I mean,
but they've totally fucked up their quarterback situation.
Right. So now,
they have Jeff Cousins, who's been playing great over the last 2 years.
Jeff Cousins or Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins. I don't know who Jeff Cousins is. I don't even know who Jeff Cousins is.
Jason's Jeff's cousin.
I'm Jeff's cousin. Come on, Damon.
they signed him last year to basically a show me deal, and he put up these great numbers, and they franchised him. So, you know, and so they did it again this year. They franchised him. And I think they're going to pay him over the course of the 2 years, like $44 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they still don't have a long-term deal set for him. So if he comes out, I mean, I don't know what Washington's thinking, because if he comes out and succeeds, it's going to cost him even more money. So do they want him to fail? I don't get their logic.
That's your problem. You expect logic from Washington. Period.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking about the Redskins.
So yeah, they're in a. We fucked up over the last couple of years, but they seem in turmoil.
All right. Yeah. So then Pierre Garçon decides to sign with San Francisco, right?
Right.
Any word on where Colin Kaepernick is? Or you think he's going to retire soon?
You know that code for. Right. I think someone will sign him. I mean...
The Browns.
Yeah, I mean, look, the NFL is full of second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. But he's not going to get any money. No one's going to, you know, I don't know what kind of money he's looking for, but he's not getting anywhere close to starter money. But I think he'll be on a team. I think he'll be on a team.
Sure.
And I think he sucks, and I don't think he'll start. And you're right. I think, you know, he might be a backup for four or five different teams over the next 4 or 5 years, and then he'll be out the league. Yep. The man doesn't have the talent to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Right. All right. So that's all the really things worth talking about, other than maybe Vince Young signing with a CFL team.
Canadian.
Hey, buddy. Fuck Canada.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, again, not really a lot of splashy player this year. At least not that I feel, unless y'all.
There's still a few guys, like Dante Hightower, still available, a couple of guys. Atlanta didn't sign anybody big, but I guess that's good.
Oh, speaking of Atlanta.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Atlanta blew a 25-point lead in the third quarter of the Super Bowl. it's true. I'm telling you. Go look it up on the internet. It's fucking biggest fuck-up in the history of the NFL.
Hey, how about we do a Don't Patrol checkpoint?
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying I've
I'll go with a 5.
Damn!
Yeah.
Drinking.
Look, this, like I said at the start of the show, for the last 2 months, other than enjoying the Falcons' misery, I've kind of put my Saints, you know, fandom on side because there's nothing to talk about. There's no reason to get excited. It was the offseason. I enjoyed my offseason. But now that stuff is actually happening, and look, once, you know, the initial week or two of free agency is over, it'll die down again until mini camps or the draft. You know, like, I guess the draft and then mini camps. So I'll go quiet for a while, and I'll just kind of go back. But, you know, today was pretty exciting. Like, I'm really feeling good about the moves that we've made. Now, I know the money hasn't come out yet for Ginn or Walford, but it doesn't seem like we've drastically overpaid for anybody. So I'm kind of excited about that. And we addressed needs. We needed a linebacker. We got a linebacker. We needed an offensive guard. We got an offensive guard. We re-signed Fairley, which is very important. And taking Ginn on, you know, whatever, we'll see what happens with Cooks. Now, he's not going to be a complete replacement for Cooks, but at least he is going to help the special. So I like all the moves that they've done.
Especially today. And then again, if you go back to the changing of the guard, as it was, of the coaches.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, count that in the offseason move.
Yeah, and we signed another assistant coach this week from Eastern Illinois. Did. And then they also officially announced that the Bird cut is designated as a June 1st cut.
So is he allowed to go negotiate with teams now?
I would think so. I don't know all the specifics, but I would think he can go negotiate. Like, I don't think he has to wait until – well, maybe he has – fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure that
if
that
he has to officially wait until June 1st to sign with somebody and – I mean, I'm sure he could probably negotiate.
Right. And then,
but is anybody out there really clamoring for Jairus Byrd right now? No, I'm sure he'll sign with somebody.
Sure. He can still play, just not for Atlanta. $15 million a year.
It'll give us more, you know, it'll give us a little more money. So if we want to do an extension with maybe a Vaccaro or somebody like that, we'll have some money, you know, later on this year if we decide we want to do that.
So then your little final thoughts there. And Jason, was that them? Kind of.
No, actually, I'll give you my final thought. So so it's official this year. I am going to the Masters next month. Masters golf tournament.
In Augusta?
In Augusta, and I'm going to be wearing my Saints hat. And if I see anybody with a Falcons hat, I'll say, so how'd you like that 25-point Super Bowl choke job?
Yeah, I'll bet you say that.
What, you don't think I'll say it to at least somebody?
I don't think so. You know, you need to figure out a better way of doing it. You need to get like 25 tees, golf tees, and hand it.
Look, I have time. I can do something now. The Masters is, you know, old Southern stuff. Like, we can't bring our cell phone into the tournament, so I can't have that at all. But I can figure out some. Maybe we can get some koozies made. Like 25-point loss and just hand them out. I know a guy who makes koozies. But, you know, once the tournament gets closer, I'll probably like the week before I go, I'll mention it. But it's
Falcons championship koozies, that's all.
Oh, I like that.
Just bring a Falcons championship koozie and drink
that. That's impressive. But this is kind of a real bucket list item for me, and it's fun. It continues my last year of going to sporting events. Like, I went to a Cubs game, they won the World Series. I went to two Saints games, including one, the last game of in the season of San Diego. We went to Kansas City. Now I get to go to the Masters, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well,
that's it.
Great. Damon, final thoughts?
I don't know if it's a thought, but I have a joke for you. Crabgrass. What do crabs get high on?
I don't know what.
Crabgrass. Right. These jokes, I give you the answer first, and then I give you the question, okay?
You're pulling the old Johnny Carson.
That's right. That's, thank you. Right. Super Bowl.
What do Falcons like to blow?
That's a good one. But what would you find in Superman's bathroom?
Yeah, okay. I like my answer better.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. No.
Peni, what do Falcons like to blow?
Rubber balls and liquor.
What do Falcons like to blow?
Everything is what the Falcons like.
25-point leads.
Oh!
That is all we have for the show right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, the Dome Patrol podcast, without the.
That count.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Logan donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Yes, here we go again. Give you more, nothing lesser. Back on the mic is the antidepressor. Rock, no pressure. Yes, we need this. The best is yet to come in. Yes, believe this. Let go my echo, my flex my ego. Sip on Prosecco, dressed up tuxedo. Sip my coffee, playing Keno in the casino. Want a lucky number? Ask Mike Dino.
Before the competition, like a flamethrower. My rhymes, they age like wine as I get older. I'm getting bolder. Competition is waning. I got the ball and I see the lane.